Hi, Sally Spillane. Welcome back to the Garden Show and Home. Frances Groters from Catskill Native Nursery is here. Happy to 2025. Oh my gosh. France, we're talking about birds. Cornell has a website called eBird where people put in their observations. You can see what people are seeing around you. So try eBird. I love Merlin. Merlin's just a great thing. I love my Roger Torrey Peterson. And I mean, it certainly is a good time of year to read. And Frances is going to read Roger Torrey Peterson's autobiography. Oh, no, it's biography, right?
It's a good question. It's called Birder. And I think it's an, that's a good question. Is it an autobiography or biography? I don't know. But
Well,
it's called, the book is called Birder.
okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we were talking about feeding birds in the winter is a great thing. Okay, it's no, hands down, go for it. Summer is about just what you plant and what you do. The more I garden, the more it's just like I want more stuff for nature. I'm a part of nature. Everything is part of nature. I like living with nature. I like knowing that I'm not alone on this planet with just a bunch of other people. I like you people, but you know, I like a three-dimensional life. Monarchs hit the endangered list. I mean, what should we be thinking or doing about that?
I honestly don't know that there's much that the average homeowner can do that we're not already doing. Obviously, about the only thing you can do is plant milkweeds, which people are doing a lot of. And quite frankly, in our area, there's probably not a shortage of milkweed. There's common milkweed all over the place. You can certainly plant nectar plants for the adults, for them to feed on. It's important in helping them get their migration. Asters, goldenrods, all those late summer plants that the adult monarchs are going to be feeding on before they leave. But the crisis that they're experiencing is more related to what's happened in the Midwest, where you know a good portion of the population is produced every year, and then they fly to Mexico and overwinter there, and there's still some issues with deforestation in Mexico. You can help support reforestation in Mexico. There are organizations that are involved with planting trees, and you know, a simple web search will reveal those. I know one off the top of my head that we contribute to is called Forests for Monarchs. And the other one, I think, is Monarch Butterfly Fund. Both of those are involved with Forests for Monarchs, obviously, with reforestation. The Monarch Butterfly Fund, I believe, is also involved with some reforestation efforts in Mexico. So it's despite all those efforts, they do seem to be continuing to decline. And I think it has a lot to do with what's happening in the Midwest, where milkweed is simply not as readily available as it used to be. I know there's some efforts there. I mean, the population, the butterflies that we get here in the Northeast, they fly back to Mexico, but we're not the probably the most important source of overwintering butterflies in for Mexico. It comes really from the heartland of North America. So more needs to be done there, probably not only just in people's backyards, but you know, but by the government, and this is one step the government is taking to help ensure that monarchs are going to be with us for a longer time, is to because they're going to get additional protection by being listed as an endangered species.
Phew. So it's a good time of year to make a resolution. Okay. And I think most of us have, most people, most gardeners I know are into some combination of natives, and versus exotics. You can have both, but you don't have to have any. You can have whatever you want, but it behooves us all to include natives in that. One of the things that I notice about birds and is they like cover in the winter. They like cover all year long. And there are a lot of great native, like mountain laurel, the native rhododendrons, some native evergreens to think about that when you're designing for, an expanded population of sentient beings, you can think about. So, what are you finding are some of the best cover shrubs, trees?
Yeah, some of the junipers, Eastern Red Cedar,
Oh,
or
yeah.
common juniper. Some of the others that we don't necessarily sell, hemlock's pretty good, but we stopped selling hemlock because of problems with woolly adelgid.
Yeah.
But spruce trees are great cover, and we usually have mostly some white spruce available. Arborvitaes are great, but you have to be fenced against deer. In fact, we've had a little problem this winter with deer broaching some of our fencing, and it really did ate a lot of the arborvitae that we had both planted in the landscape and were overwintering for sale for next year. So there, that's the challenge with those. Some of the quasi-native, the Western arborvitaes, the green giants. They're less appealing to deer, and they're still good for cover. So think about some of those green giants, junior giants. There's a whole bunch of those now that they're generally available in nurseries because a lot of people are using them for screening purposes. And one of the advantages of planting for screening is you are creating that roosting habitat for birds for overnight. We don't love the idea of just planting these evergreen rows of evergreens. They're not incredibly diverse, but we realize a lot of people are doing them, and it is the one good thing about them is they do absolutely do create habitat for birds for overwintering and nesting locations in the summer as well.
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in the mixed hedge for a lot of reasons. Because if one of them goes, and you have like a monoculture, good luck filling in that hole. And I happen to love Eastern Red Cedars. I just think, there's nothing like seeing a flock of robins attack an Eastern Red Cedar in February. It's just like, oh my gosh,
Yeah, the cedar waxwings, of course, robins, those two, and bluebirds will feed from those as well. And the only drawback to Eastern Red Cedar is it is an intermediate host for some of the rusts that go after a lot of the members of the rose family, apples and service berries in particular. And it's really incredibly frustrating. And I think you have to try to pick either one or the other. You either grow the Eastern Red Cedar, or grow service berries slash June berries, species of Amelanchier, but the two don't work together.
Okay, that's good to know.
And I don't, I don't know which one to prefer. The service berries are great because they're the beautiful flower. Their host plant for some butterflies. Of course, Eastern Red Cedar as well. There's something called Juniper Hairstreak butterfly that does feed on Eastern Red Cedar. But the Amelanchiers are good host plants for butterflies. They produce the fruits that the birds really love in June. And but we've had major problems with the fruit being completely wiped out by the cedar rusts that the Eastern Red Cedar is an intermediate host for. So I wish there was a perfect solution there. There's not. We generally advise people pick, plant either plant cedars or plant service berries slash June berries, but not both.
Well, that is the perfect solution.
Yeah.
We're out of time. I can't
Okay.
stand it. So happy New Year. I hope you join me in like upping my native game. And I hope you enjoy all your birds. And thank you, Francis, so much.
Hey, you're welcome, Sally.
And this isn't necessary. Phew. I was very confused. But so have fun. And we're out of here. Garden Show and Home is brought to you by Four Winds Farm. They are organic heirloom seedlings that are going to be for sale on May 16th and 17th in Gardner, New York. More information, check, hang out with 4WindsFarmNY.com, Ward's Nursery, Garden Center, and Wild Bird Shop, helping gardeners grow there in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, and at wardsnursery.com. And I Must Garden, all natural, pleasantly scented animal repellents. Available at select garden centers, and yes, you do need to spray in the winter. More information at imusgarden.com. We're out of here.